The Clarks, a new play for radio by Rhys Adrian, with Hugh Burton as Hugh, Freddie Jones as Freddie, and Gerald Cross as Gerald. The Clarks.
One needed cause for laughter. Now one needs none. Some short-circuiting of the brain. The pleasure principle operating on a random basis.
I am too weak. Weak with it all. Will they move us on?
Eventually. If they've nothing better to do.
Is it cold?
It's cold now.
Oh, we could light a small fire.
And we would be seen. And would be moved on.
You have what you need?
A bottle and a half of wine. Some cider.
Then you won't need to come to me.
And nor you to me.
I have some cider, little rum, some cleaning fluid. I was at the opening of the new supermarket today. I got a York ham. As luck would have it, a giant of a woman came in. She stood right by the shelf where the York hams were. I was able to get in right behind her.
Up your sleeve?
Like lightning, as usual. I use my left sleeve now. My right arm no longer as quick as it was.
I managed to get hold of a tin of red salmon.
The entire place festooned with convex mirrors. After that, I rested for a while on the bench. Then a short walk up to Mirrorways. I got a bar of chocolate and two cream buns. Eaten by the time I'd reached the checkout point.
More and more mirrors.
More and more.
They keep you alert. Keep you on your toes. Develop new skills.
Yeah. They've now put the miniatures behind the cashier at the liquor market.
There's always the wine. Special offers in special bins near the door.
Perhaps it would be better to go hunting in pairs.
Team up, do you mean?
I could shield you from the mirrors, or you could shield me.
Create diversion.
You could go to the liquor market, choose a rather special bottle of wine, and then challenge the cashier on its authenticity. Then, by reducing her to tears, I could be in and out and halfway up the street in no time at all.
Never tried cleaning fluid.
I wouldn't recommend it. It tends to burn the back of the throat. Do you ever get the feeling of being fingered? Being fingered? I always hated the idea of being fingered.
Done enough of it in your time.
I always hated the idea of being fingered by someone else. I became obsessive about cleanliness. I was always washing myself, always cleaning myself, always scrubbing away at my fingernails. I always used to clean the typeface with white spirit before touching the keys. Then suck the end of the cloth.
Were you breastfed as a child?
No. My mother, as I remember, had very modern ideas. Everything had to be very modern. All the latest fads.
Perhaps that would account for the deplorable state you now find yourself in. When did you last wash?
A week ago, I think. It's hard to be sure.
The hand dryer broken down. The locks wrenched from the cubicle doors. And no paper towels.
Should you experience any difficulty in answering any of the questions, please lick the Librium Impregnate upper right-hand corner of the form. For the government clerk, please lick the Librium Impregnate lower left-hand corner of the form you are now processing. I looking up your records somewhere, you looking up my records somewhere, everyone being fingered all the time. I hated sitting in that room. I hated sitting in front of that monochromatic screen. On the other hand, there's more than one keyboard, more than one terminal, more and more information being collected about all and sundry. It's almost impossible to get the fingernails entirely clean.
Were they all obsessively clean?
Who?
Them.
Them?
Weren't you one of them yourself?
Was I?
Weren't you?
Weren't you?
Was I?
No files on them?
Of course. The files on everyone. Everyone's got lots of files. Stacks and stacks of files dotted about all over the country.
Yeah, someone fingering them too.
I expect so.
And royalty too.
I expect so.
And lords and bishops and archbishops.
I expect so.
And the clergy too.
I expect so.
And teachers.
Of course.
And dons.
Absolutely.
And children too.
I expect so.
And writers and artists and actors too.
I expect so.
And known associates.
Of course. Who cohorts with whom? Most important, that one. Never know when that one's going to come in handy.
I don't think I cohort with anyone.
You cohort with me.
The past is very dim to me now.
There might be someone there you loved. You might be married. You might have children.
None that I know of. I might have done a prison sentence for all I know. If I have children, they might all be abroad or living in the country. The eldest girl, if there was one, might have been raped for all I know. At any rate, none of them come to see me. Beastly hum. I hated the sound. Sometimes it kept me awake. Sometimes I found it soporific. A feeling in a five instead of a three. Endless confusion, checking and rechecking. Nothing but abuse from the public. Nothing but numbers. Nothing to really go on at all.
Do you think you ever get drunk?
Hmm? Possibly.
All the time?
Possibly.
I don't pass out now. I'm awake most of the time.
Valium?
Valium.
Librium?
Librium.
Quite by chance, I once fingered the DHSS. It was quite brief. It was a freak, they said. It should never have happened. Highly classified, top-drawer stuff. It was how I came to learn about Valium and Librium. And the Swiss pharmaceutical industry.
Was the doctor's file?
I can't remember.
Patient's file?
I can't remember. The searching was continuous and never-ending. Spot checks and random checks. Hunting for clues that might add up to something in the end. Trying to make sense of it all. Sometimes we disguise ourselves as gas inspectors and get into people's homes that way. Sometimes a little official moonlighting in the evening.
Oh.
Eavesdropping on the clientele in public houses from behind the bar. Who was cohorting with whom? How much was so-and-so spending on drink?
Did they let you keep the money?
Who?
The department.
What money?
Your moonlighting money.
Every penny had to be accounted for. The publican had to account for the revenue. I had to account to the department. The department had to account to the revenue. And the revenue had to account back to the department. It sometimes took years for a few coppers to pass back and forth. Everyone slowly getting shabbier. Everyone becoming more and more resentful. A colleague of mine slowly going blind in front of his monitor. One losing leave of his senses completely. The consul's covered in dandruff. 50% of the dust you inhale, dead skin. It was difficult sometimes under the circumstances not to be vindictive.
When
one was fingering. Each day a different directive. Each one more confusing than the last. An increasingly hostile public. Torrents of abuse in your ear.
A stronger power.
Less profits.
A weaker power.
More profits. More and more digits showing up on the monitors.
The pound going up.
And the dollar going down.
The pound going down.
And the dollar going up. More and more intervention.
More and more subsidies.
No one willing to cooperate.
No one willing to work.
Everyone wanting to moonlight.
The entire nation almost at a standstill. It was my marriage.
A tragedy.
In the beginning, an idyll.
I know.
You'd rather I didn't speak about it?
No, I don't if I've heard the whole of it. Sometimes your mind slips. You become forgetful. Or evasive.
20 years.
Yes.
Until she liberated herself. The unshackling of the chains was how she put it.
Yes.
She read a book on the subject. And overnight, everything changed.
Yes.
Everything was to be equally divided. All responsibilities shared.
Yes.
I was to scrub my half of the kitchen floor, and she was to scrub hers. At the end of the month, the accounts. If I had more than my fair share of the gin, then I would account to her. And if she had more than hers, then she would account to me. One night, I on top of her. The next, she on top of me.
Did she ever take to wearing her clothes?
Never went quite that far.
Or did you ever take to wearing hers?
It never went as far as that. She did once wear my smoking jacket. She did once try one of my cigars. But she couldn't get on with it. She said she preferred her silk cut. It was always difficult when it came to doing the accounts, trying to balance the cigars against the cost of the silk cut.
The gin? That must have been difficult.
We had a measured optic and an exercise book. We also had a small biscuit tin. We would charge ourselves the cost of the measure. As one measure was poured, then the coins would be put into the tin. When the bottle was empty, then there would be enough in the tin to replace it.
Then why did you need the exercise book? If you had an optic and a tin?
It was her idea.
I don't quite see the logic in it.
Her eyes never seemed to stray far from me.
And why was that, do you think?
To see that what I spent on myself didn't exceed what she spent on herself. I a vasectomy, she on the pill.
Both?
I had to take my fair share of joint responsibility. She bitterly resented the pill. She argued that if she were to be on the pill, then I should also carry my fair share.
You were to have the vasectomy?
Yes.
And she was to stay on the pill?
One night, I on top of her, and the next, she on top of me.
But the vasectomy is irreversible.
But then she would argue that the long-term effects of the pill might also be irreversible. Not only that, but that the long-term effects of the pill might not only be irreversible, but also irreparable. So she would argue. Towards the end, there always seemed to be a point of disputation. She was always putting this point to me, or that point to me. Sometimes she would wake me up in the middle of the night with some point or other that had suddenly occurred to her. She was continuously on the phone, and the telephone bills became catastrophic. She was always putting this point to them, or that point to them. In the end, even they got tired of her. They stopped putting her through. What if she didn't get through? They'd put a jingle on and cut her off.
But if she was to stay on the pill, why didn't you just pretend you'd had the vasectomy?
It leaves a small scar.
Hardly noticeable, I should have thought.
Besides, she came and saw it done. Her point was that if the male had the right to attend the birth, then the female equally had the right to attend the vasectomy. Everything had to be seen to be fair. She was utterly feminine until she read that book.
Can you still,
I hope so. Not that I've had much opportunity lately.
Well, what about the seed?
The seed?
Well, where did it go?
What do you mean?
If it doesn't come out?
I've never been quite clear in my mind about that. Perhaps it finds its way down the left leg. Or the right. Resulting in cellulitis in the end.
Cellulitis?
A swelling of the right ankle. Or the left. Sometimes the left. Sometimes the right.
That's gout.
What is?
A new word for it.
What?
Gout.
What is?
Cellulitis.
Perhaps a combination of both. The seed and the alcohol.
I often noticed you limping. Were you living tonight? It was dark when you arrived.
No. I'm quite steady this evening.
Did she make you wear the tie?
The tie?
The vasectomy tie.
There was no need. There being no equivalent for the pill. No shawl, no brooch. No symbol of infertility in a diamante setting. I do sometimes go and see her.
Who?
My late wife.
But you are not divorced. She is not dead.
Late of Abinger Road. The both of us. She never recognizes me. Or doesn't appear to. Or doesn't want to. She sits in a corner of the room. Always the same corner. Always the same chair. It is always heavily sedated. Sometimes a crooked smile on her face. Her head to one side. Her eyes rolled upwards. But no one seems to mind. The nurses seem to take it all very much for granted. Moved on earlier than usual tonight, I thought. The residents objecting to the laughter. As usual. He seemed very young.
Who was?
The constable.
I didn't look at his face.
I did point out to him that I sometimes cleaned the chief superintendent's car for him. He said that whatever private arrangement I had with the chief superintendent was strictly between the chief superintendent and myself. It either put me outside the law or above it. Now, shove off.
I didn't hear. I try not to eavesdrop. Not now.
It was the scotch. And the limp.
What was?
And the question being raised in the house.
What question?
About efficiency of the department. The usual one. So, of course, the hunt for a scapegoat was on yet again.
I know what it is to be a scapegoat. I think I've been made a scapegoat all my life. One way or another.
Perhaps you have always wanted to be one. Perhaps you have brought it all on yourself. A martyr. A willing victim. Someone to go down in the history books.
Perhaps you brought it all on yourself, too.
What?
The catastrophe.
The catastrophe?
The catastrophe that your life has turned out to be.
Are you all right?
Sudden shortening of the breath. Sudden tightness of the chest. Nothing unusual. Perhaps that's how you got entangled with your late wife. The pair of you. Both willing victims.
There are areas within oneself that one wouldn't care to delve into too deeply. As I said, the hunt was on. It was the limp that gave me away, and the smell on my breath. Instead of sticking to vodka, I switched to scotch. The state of my clothes.
What was wrong with your clothes?
It was after my wife had been taken away. I fell to pieces, bit by bit. Let everything slip. Unshaven. Always late. More and more disheveled. And, of course, they had access to her medical records, too, and that probably didn't go down too well. And probably access to the psychiatrist's reports as well. All the most intimate secrets of our life together. I don't suppose that went down too well either.
I don't know. You might have brightened up the day of one of the clerks. They were all on Valium in the end.
Who were?
The clerks. The audio typist on Librium. It was the new technology. They couldn't stand it in the end. All those machines chattering away by themselves. Couldn't sack anyone. It would have distorted the unemployment figures. To begin with, the Librium and the Valium came free. Then the department said it could no longer afford the very high cost of it all. They were made to pay for the Valium and the Librium themselves. There were dispensers in all the corridors and all the departments.
I never went on to the Valium. I never went on to the Librium.
It was the machines chattering away themselves, a beastly hum everywhere. It unnerved everyone. Yeah, they put me onto the foam tap once. 6 months of it I endured. You got the Librium free when you were on the foam tap.
Who were you to listen to?
I was never told. They gave me the headphones. I was to go into a cubicle, go into a pre-selected junction, and listen.
What were you to listen for?
I was never told.
What did you hear?
Nothing.
For 6 months.
Sometimes he would dial the time or dial a record, a bedtime story. Once he dialed a recipe and got through to the Financial Times by mistake, or so it seemed.
She?
Or she. I sometimes used to crave for the voice to speak to me. I crave for human contact. No one can stick it for more than 6 months at a time. After that, the strain begins to show.
But You might have heard something.
That was the supposition, of course. In the end, I began to believe that it was I who was being listened to. That whoever it was I was supposed to be listening to was, in fact, listening to me to see if I was listening to them.
Perhaps they were.
Who?
Whoever put you onto it.
Onto what?
The phone tap. New technology. A new device. A committee of ways and means set up to look into it. A guinea pig. An unknown victim to try out the new device. See how he stands up to the strain.
I was once asked to keep an eye on a colleague in the department.
Who'd probably been asked to keep an eye on someone else.
Yes, it was a period when everyone did seem to be glancing backwards over their shoulders.
What were you to look out for?
His lifestyle, that sort of thing. Someone higher up had taken an interest in him.
And what did you find out?
Nothing. There was nothing to find out. Except that he was the most frightful bore. Talked of nothing but his roses, his retirement. What do you do if the pools came up? Loss of sexual appetite. Thinning hair, receding gums. A lot of nonsense about virility pills. And what to do about dandruff? The fact that his son would get up and walk out of the room whenever he entered it. The fact that the son would leave scraps of paper about the house. Were you there at the moment of conception, Father? How do you know you were, Father? Perhaps Mother got out of the house one night. Did you ever think of that, Father? The headmaster told him that he had a genius for a son. 5 A-levels, all grade A passes. Do you think those A-levels came out of your genes, Father? Do you really think so? His wife, menopausal. 5 Valium a day.
Did you reveal all this in your report?
An edited version. A few embellishments. I left out a bit about the son. It was their own motives they had misinterpreted. They'd all forgotten that in the beginning they'd all considered him the most frightful bore. They had forgotten that in the beginning that it was they who had shunned him. They now thought that it was he who was shunning them. There had been a number of leaks in the department. Everyone was under a cloud. They began to think that he was being less straightforward in his approach to them than he should have been. And if he was, what was he up to?
Did his work suffer?
Like us all. He did what was required of him. Nothing more.
A lot of the new technology was confusing.
So many different systems, so many new devices, all coming out in a rush. As soon as we got used to operating one system, the next would be upon us. All the new technology and the paint peeling from the walls. More and more technology and the crime rate soaring higher and higher. So many consoles, so many viewing rooms, so many dimly lit suites. The monitor becoming God. The binary absolute.
Prematurely retired on the grounds of ill health. A disability pension. A pittance.
It was the laser beam that finally unnerved me. Highly classified. Top floor stuff. But no one really knew what to do with it.
What was it for?
Well, you were to point it to the victim's mouth and you'd be able to hear what he was saying. But it unnerved me. I never knew if I was doing it right. I thought perhaps if I plugged it in the wrong way, or if some other poles were to be reversed, I might end up blowing a hole through the side of my head.
Did it work?
I never knew. I could never keep my hand steady enough to aim the thing. In the end, I was on masses of librium. I was in a shocking state by then. They put me on 3 months sick leave. But I never went back. Sometimes the phone would ring. From time to time, someone would ring on my doorbell. Then one day, the phone ceased to ring. They stopped ringing at my doorbell. My monthly payments were stopped. I was dispossessed. I am here.
Did they ever find a use for the laser?
Or in the end, the different departments used to spy on each other. Great rivalries built up. Everyone becoming more and more secretive. A great deal of petulance everywhere. Each department crying that they were being starved of funds and that each and every other department was being treated in a way preferential to them.
Life is so much simpler in the supermarket. You know where you are, the convex mirror. You can see where it's placed, and you know what it's for.
Would you like to try a little of the fluid?
I never have.
Pass me your bottle. Always mix it with the cider, never the wine. I won't give you too much. It takes time to get used to it. I get it from the hardware shop near Mirrorways. They have it out on the pavement. A special offer in special bins.
Would you care for some wine? Oh. It's Italian. Poor quality. Well, it's the best I could do.
Oh, thank you.
I see what you mean. It is warming, and it does take away from the sweetness of the cider.
It helps eke it out. Do you find it tends to burn the back of your throat?
Oh, slightly.
Oh, would you care for some ham?
Thank you.
And some bread to go with it?
Thank you. I still have some salmon, if you'd care for some.
Salmon? Who can afford such luxuries these days? In many ways, I think I'm better off now than I was before I took to this way of life. No overheads, no laundry bills, no final demands of any kind, and plenty of food going to waste if you know the right places. Do you still keep your belongings in the same place?
Yes.
I found an old shed at the back of the allotment, near to the railway embankment. It was once used as an outside toilet. Nothing in it now, of course, but it is dry.
The salmon is getting more and more difficult to get hold of. They keep moving the tins nearer and nearer the checkout point. This ham is delicious.
The bread, a trifle stale, I'm afraid.
Just the right texture to go with the ham.
I preferred the manual search for the files. It could sometimes occupy you for weeks. It would sometimes take months to put two and two together. And even then you were lucky if you came up with the right answer. There was always something that didn't quite make sense. Always something that didn't quite add up. Always something nagging away at the back of one's mind. Going down to the archives at 11. Then the quick dive out of the coach and horses, a few cookrums. Then back in time for lunch. And sometimes the files would be misplaced or wouldn't be there at all. Someone from some other department doing a different sort of search. And sometimes I'd have someone else's press cuttings in them. I once spent a year tracking down a file. I had to give up in the end. By that time, because when I re-emerged, the fuss had all died down. There have been several transfers, one or two deaths, one or two retirements, and no one really seemed quite sure why the file had been asked for in the first place. It was New Year's Eve when I finally did re-emerge. Everyone was completely euphoric. The party went on until the small hours the next day, everyone racked with guilt. As usual.
Input blocks. Output blocks. Arithmetic floating points. Assumed decimal points. Data processing. Test data. Data banks. Took all the fun out of life. No slipping away for an hour or two.
And all the joy out of it. All access to files immediate. And still nothing made sense. Beastly hangover, hunched in front of the monitor, hunched over the line printer, hammering away at you with 1,300 lines a minute. Awful chattering, beastly hum. Trying to make sense of it all. The trade at the coach and horses, down by half. So, having to expand one's energies into the vacuum, having to take an interest in people one wouldn't normally be interested in. Nothing making sense. So, back to the tried and proven methods. Snouts appearing wherever you look.
Why no snouts appearing in bars?
Listening for bits of gossip.
Keeping the ears peeled.
Were you ever approached?
It was put to me that it might be in my best interest to do so. Certain sections of the Vagrancy Act were quoted to me. I sat in bars for a while.
Were you of any use?
Not much.
You heard nothing?
I heard quite a lot, but nothing I was prepared to pass on. I tended to rely upon my imagination more than anything else.
And your contact?
I never really thought he was very interested. That he was acting out a role of some kind, a self-fulfilling fantasy. That I was really being used so that he could get out of the office from time to time. That he was somehow filling in a vacuum in his own life. Then he suddenly left the district. I was never taken up by anyone else.
Were you paid?
I was only bought drinks.
Was there the promise?
There was always the promise.
I know about the promise.
You?
Yes, it was put to me once that it would be in my best interest to do so, too. It seems I'd been fingered by an informant. over a tin of sardines. I sat in bars for a while.
Did you hear anything?
Not much. He seemed to be mostly consist of sitting there listening to people inventing the most outrageous past of themselves.
And your contact?
Like yours. I never really thought he was very interested. That he was acting out a role of some kind, a self-fulfilling fantasy. That I, too, was really being used so that he had the excuse to get out of the office from time to time. I had to call him every Tuesday at his office at 11. He'd arrive within minutes.
I had to call mine at 11 on a Wednesday.
Where did you meet yours?
At the Green Man. And you?
At the Bull. I used to think he was lonely. He seemed only to want to talk about his daughter, the man she'd run off with.
Her name was Ham.
Rose.
What was the colour of his hair?
It was grey.
And his eyes?
They were blue.
Anything else?
He had a small moustache.
Yes.
A gold ring on the small finger of his left hand?
Yes.
When you phoned yours, did you ask for him by name?
I never knew his name. I was to ask for an extension number. If he answered, I was to speak. If someone else answered, I was to put down the receiver.
Do you remember the number?
Too long ago.
Well, you must have called him something when you met.
He said to call him Bill.
Well, mine said to call him Tom. And he, too, suddenly left the district. I was never taken up by anyone else, either.
Did he say he knew all about you?
He said he knew everything. He said he'd seen one of my files.
On microfilm?
Yes.
Did he say which file he'd seen?
Just that he'd seen one of them.
Anything in your past?
In my past?
Anything incriminating?
I hope not.
I said he'd seen one of my files, too. Were you paid?
I was only bought drinks. Usually halves. He was very sparing.
Was there the promise?
Oh, yes, there was the promise.
No true picture of anything emerging at all.
No true picture of anything ever did emerge.
You never married?
No.
Nothing odd about that?
Odd?
Nothing suspicious there.
Suspicious?
No conclusion to be drawn from that.
Conclusion?
Depending on the moulderness of the mind.
The mind? Whose mind?
The moulderness of the mind doing the fingering.
Fingering?
Fingering your file.
File? Which file?
Whichever file is being fingered.
Well, it's true I didn't marry. I wasn't very good at forming relationships. I did fall in love, of course, quite often. But always from a distance. I think it was shyness. I've really only managed a close relationship under the cover of darkness. But the Street Offences Act put an end to that. I did try the sauna once, but I couldn't stand the glare. I did ask them to switch off the light for me, but they said it would contravene Section 4 of the Sauna Health Act. Since then, I have been celibate.
I don't suppose that's in your file.
What?
Your trip to the sauna.
In the end, with more and more time in our hands, expanding our activities more and more into the vacuum, we had to start making moral judgments. We had to start writing reports.
On what?
On whatever it was we could deduce from the information available to us.
WKPs?
WKPs?
Well-known persons.
Ah, different department altogether. Top drawer stuff, highly classified.
I did once come across a WKP file, quite by chance. It was in the days when we searched manually. It had been wrongly filed. It had found its way down from a different department. It was all there. Everything. A complete biography. At the bottom. In a digital box. A question mark.
A question mark hanging over us all?
I expect so.
Will they follow us wherever we go?
Will what follow us?
Our files.
I expect so.
Picked up on a vagrancy charge in the end.
If they want to.
More and more activity expanding into the vacuum.
I expect so.
Objectives are becoming less and less clear.
I expect so.
Fraud on a colossal scale.
I expect so.
Vast sums being flashed from terminal to terminal.
I expect so.
Huge amounts being bunched off the moon by laser.
I expect so.
And the more sophisticated the system, the more sophisticated the response.
I expect so.
Down on the floor, scratching around for Phoenix.
Earlier, you said you weren't sure whether you had been married or not. Now you are sure that you weren't.
Well, I do have my more lucid moments from time to time, but they are becoming less and less frequent, thank God.
grinding to a halt.
What is?
Everything.
Everything?
Everyone going slow. The point of disputation having resolved itself, and in the meantime, everyone having got used to a more leisurely way of life, continuing to go slow, even beyond the moment of conciliation. No one very inclined to do anything very much at all.
I never knew whether the squat was official or not.
The squat?
I never knew if it had been arranged.
Arranged?
They weren't run-of-the-mill squatters. They had the look of people from the department about them. I had arrived back at the house at noon. All the locks had been changed. There was a party going on in the house. Someone came to the window. He was wearing my smoking jacket. He was smoking one of my cigars. He was drinking my whiskey. He stuck two fingers up in the air at me and walked back into the room. My final humiliation, my final degradation. In a way, though, a relief. The pension. Barely enough to pay for my needs. Barely enough to pay for my whiskey and my cigars. The gas cut off. The electricity about to be cut off. Final demands appearing from everywhere. A court appearance due the following Monday morning for non-payment of the rates. Something had to give. Time to dive for cover. The man in the smoking jacket came back to the window and tore up my pension book in front of me.
Had you ever heard of a departmental squat before?
Never.
Then how do you know it was one?
How do I know it wasn't?
You should have taken in lodgers.
I should have done a number of things. I was in a state of complete paralysis by the end.
Then you've ceased to exist.
By that, do you mean that I am not here?
I mean as a statistic. You won't appear as unemployed?
No.
As disabled?
No.
Having been disgraced, having been hounded out of the department, you'd never get a reference?
No.
No fixed abode?
No.
No social security payments?
No.
No old age pension?
No.
But your files exist. You still exist in your files.
I expect so.
They won't destroy those. Much too valuable.
Do they know where I am at this very minute?
Possibly.
Do they know that I am with you?
Possibly.
How?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with the new technology. There were a lot of new things in the pipeline by the time I left the department. Cameras that filled in the dark, long-range listening devices, the robot mechanical self-selecting random tap, holography, that was coming along, one's inquisition taking place in one's living room by laser, a portable X-ray device for seeing through the walls of public urinals.
If they've taken away my identity, then why do they need my file?
Well, they'll never know when they might need it. If it was a departmental squat, they might one day decide to give you back your identity, to give you back your home, to give you back your pension. Unless, of course, a mistake was made. If it was a departmental dispossession order, it may have been someone else they meant to dispossess. A lack of attention to detail. Your name, but a different initial. An error on the part of the clerk. But if a mistake was made, your chances of having it rectified? Nil. There was always a great reluctance in the department to admit to errors. Internal inquiries were never very popular. Backtracking through the entire system. The hunt for the scapegoat would be on. Heads would have to topple. I expect your files will be in the officially misplaced files section. It was quite large by the time I left. Misplaced files were turning up from all over the place. They had over 100 clerks working in that section by the time I left. I expect my file is right there by now, if it is not in the escaped files section. Those that drop from sight, assume a new identity, or simply dive for cover. There are over 50 clerks there by the time I left. Continually searching, continuously sifting, always on the lookout, always on the watch.
For what?
They were never told.
Then how did they know what to look for?
They didn't.
Then what were they to look for?
Anything unusual, anything odd, anything out of the ordinary. Anything odd or unusual had to be referred upstairs.
And who was up there?
We never knew. When I was at the laser, I was given a number to ring if I came across anything out of the ordinary. A querulous voice would answer, "Well, what is it?"
And you'd tell them. And then they'd say, well, good hunting. And then they'd go. Sometimes a man's voice, sometimes a woman's. Rumors flying everywhere.
A field day for gossip.
Fierce whispering campaigns.
The most vile smears.
What was that?
What?
I thought I heard something.
What?
I thought I heard someone laugh.
There's only the two of us here.
Someone. Where? Over there.
Listening.
Who's that? I never thought I'd come across the two of you again.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize my voice?
Is it Tom?
It's Bill.
It's Gerald.
You sound like Tom. Do you have a drink?
No,
I've finished it all. How can you be Gerald if you are Bill? You certainly cannot be Gerald if you are Tom.
In my game, you gave the impression you wanted to give.
What game?
Whatever game it was.
And what game was that?
If I told you that, you'd be as wise as me. Have you got a drink?
No. Are you being purposely obscure?
Have you been listening to us?
I was asleep. The sound of the siren woke me. I heard some of what you were saying. Deplorable.
I said, are you being purposely obscure?
In my game, it's sometimes paid to be obscure. One of the tricks of the trade.
What trade?
Whatever trade it was.
I was never quite sure about you. Who you were. Where you came from. What you represented.
I knew the rules very well. I was very good at rules. But the end result, never quite clear about that. Not that we were meant to be.
There was more than one of you?
How long have you been there?
It's my patch. You haven't been here before.
We were moved on from where we were.
I said, there was more than one of you.
So it transpired.
In that bar?
So it transpired.
In both bars?
So it transpired. The machine had become insatiable. It cracked, and we all cracked with it.
The machine?
It cracked, and we all cracked with it. But whether we cracked because of it, or it cracked because of us...
What machine?
The machine.
There was tremendous pressure everywhere at the time.
Everyone searching for their own version of the truth.
Searching for facts to fit in with one's own preconception.
One's own version of the truth.
You gave me nothing but invention.
You wanted gossip.
You wanted innuendo.
But not invention.
Well, what is gossip?
What is innuendo?
You gave me nothing but invention.
Never the promise.
No, never the promise.
Just halves.
You wanted lies.
Dressed up well, a good lie can be made to seem truthful enough.
It went on their files?
Whose files?
The others.
What others?
You said there were others.
Your mind going too?
My mind has nothing to do with it.
In that bar. The others. What others?
What has my mind got to do with it?
You said you'd cracked.
When?
Just now.
I said the machine cracked.
And that you'd cracked with it.
It was the machine that cracked.
There was a close watch on everyone at the time.
A file on you?
Being watched yourself.
The watcher being watched?
The fingerer being fingered himself.
A pack of lies.
What?
That monitor.
What monitor?
The monitor.
What are you talking about?
Your mind has gone.
Lies.
Where?
On the monitor.
About you?
The machine cracked.
About you?
About all of us.
But about you in particular?
On that particular day.
You'd fingered yourself.
There were six of us.
Where?
In the room where the monitors were. Things appearing that shouldn't have been known.
Where?
On the monitors.
About what?
About all of us.
The six of you?
You thought that they weren't keeping an eye on you, too.
They?
Whoever they were.
I thought I... I was...
What?
I was one of them.
One of the six?
It was a big building. We worked in small teams.
What did you do?
When?
When the gossip started to appear on the screens. The innuendo.
What gossip? What innuendo?
About yourselves.
We broke the room up.
Then you did crack.
Who fed it in?
What?
The lies.
What did they do to you?
When?
After you broke up the room.
They put us away.
The six of you?
They said we'd imagined it all, that the machine could not possibly function in that way. They said that we'd been under too much of a strain. They put us in a sanatorium. They said they were doing it for our own good, that we needed the rest. Anyway, a few of us. We got back out over the wall.
Time to dive for cover. No gyros for you. Can't return to your home.
How's your daughter?
No fixed abode.
No gyro.
No social security for you.
No old age pension either.
You'll have no pension book.
No gyro, no pension book.
What's the joke?
No gyro.
A gyro. A gyro. A gyro.
What are you laughing at?
No gyro.
To have you?
That is the joke. There is nothing to laugh at.
No gyro!
The Clarks was written for radio by Rhys Adrian. Hugh Burden played the part of Hugh. Freddie Jones, that of Freddie. And Gerald Cross was Gerald. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.